Easter is one of my favorite times of probably the whole year. I love it. And I was thinking about it this week because I realized, Velocity's canceled next weekend for Easter because we have to, be over there, and I have to actually dress and appear to be an adult, and hang out with all the grown-ups and wear big boy shoes and everything like that, right? So I was thinking about it, and I love Easter. It's my favorite time of the year. But the one thing that I miss out on every year is that Pastor Skip gets to teach a message about Easter, but I never do because Velocity's always canceled on Easter. And so then I was kind of bummed out about it, and I thought, well, why don't I just teach it this week? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk today about the resurrection of Jesus and why we have a reason to celebrate when it comes time for Easter next weekend. But the interesting thing about the resurrection is that there's a lot of people who think that it's a hoax, that it never happened, that it's a lie, and we're crazy to believe it. There's been a lot of things like this in history that people have come up with, or they've made up, or they just believe for whatever reason. I'll give you a few examples. One happened in 1947, the UFO crash, supposedly, in Roswell. You know what I'm talking about? And of course, now Roswell. How many of you guys have ever been to Roswell? Filled with alien stuff, right? In fact, even the McDonald's there looks like a UFO. They go all out. They're known worldwide for this whole alien thing that most people believe is a hoax, except for like 7 people who live in Roswell who are really stoked about it, right? 1933, the first sighting of Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster. This photograph, we can see this photograph, but there's never been any proof to prove that this animal is really alive. In fact, a lot of people believe that it's somebody's hand, or it's also like a kid's blow-up pool toy in the shape of a dinosaur that just looks kind of shady because of the sunlight or whatever. So that's the Loch Ness Monster. Then a name that I've picked up over the years, Bigfoot, Sasquatch. He's been sighted all over the place, of course, and you see this famous picture of him. Maybe you guys got this next picture in your email, a picture of a guy taking a picture on one of the World Trade Centers right before the plane is about to crash in behind him. Now, that's fake, but of course that circulated all around in emails and everywhere right after 9/11 happened. Maybe when you guys have gone to the grocery store or Walmart or something, you've seen a newspaper that says something like Elvis is alive. You guys seen that? Like Elvis sightings. Ooh, he's alive. No, he didn't die a long time ago. He's alive. Or maybe you've heard of this animal called the jackalope, which is like a huge rabbit with antlers. I don't know if you heard of that thing, but kind of freaky. And unlike that lady who's so stoked about riding it, I would never get close to that thing. I'd be more scared of that than like a bull bucking me off or something, right? And speaking of animals I'd be scared of, you might have seen the picture of the giant rooster that many people think is real as well. Not real. But there's all these examples of things that people believe that have no proof to back them up. And unfortunately, the topic of our study today, the resurrection, for many people would go right along with the rest of that stuff. Right along with the Roswell aliens and Elvis still being alive and the giant rooster would be Jesus rising again to life. They would put that in the same category. And this is a historical event that took place, a major significant event, the resurrection, that so many people overlook. So make sure you're turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be there in just a few minutes. Let me define this word resurrection for you. It comes from the Latin word that literally means a rising again from the dead. Coming back to life is what it means. You have to be dead to resurrect. Lazarus in the Bible was a good example. He was dead for a few days. In fact, when Jesus says, bring Lazarus out, you may remember what one of his sisters said. Excuse me, Lord, he stinketh, is what she said in the King James. So, rising again from the dead is this idea of the resurrection. And some people say, first of all, that Jesus never rose again, that he's still dead. Other people say that the resurrection didn't take place because Jesus actually never died on the cross. So he couldn't have risen back to life because he was never dead in the first place. You may hear this theory. It's called the swoon theory. And the swoon theory, basically that word swoon means to go unconscious or to faint. But that's what these people believe. They believe Jesus was in so much pain on the cross that he fainted and everybody just thought he was dead. But 3 days later, he miraculously recovered from this terrible torture on the cross and walked out of the tomb. That's what a lot of people believe. In fact, some Muslims believe that he fled to India. In fact, today you can go to a specific place in India and find a burial place where they say that is where Jesus is buried today. That's where he fled to and then he eventually died. Another guy by the name of Karl Barth said he simply fainted. Jesus fainted on the cross. Or he says he might have been given a drug to make it appear that he was dead. So Jesus was drugged, he says. One book says that Pontius Pilate was bribed so that he would allow Jesus to be pulled off the cross before he was actually dead to make it look like the resurrection actually happened when in fact he didn't really die in the first place. Another guy by the name of D.H. Lawrence says that Jesus fled to Egypt and fell in love with the princess there named Isis. So I don't know if he got hitched in Egypt or what, but I guess he fled to Egypt. That's what some people believe. Thankfully, there's a lot more evidence for the resurrection than there will ever be against the resurrection. Unfortunately, today we don't have time to analyze all of the facts behind it. I do want to recommend this little book, though, The Case for Easter. Really small, really cheap. It's like $3 in the bookstore. You can order it. They're out of it. But this is a really cool book. You may have heard of Lee Strobel. He wrote books like Case for Christ, Case for Faith, Case for a Creator. He also has this book, Case for Easter, and it basically takes you through a lot of the proof behind Jesus actually dying on the cross and then also raising back to life, the resurrection. So we don't today have time to go over the evidence for the resurrection, but we are going to look at the importance of the resurrection and why it's such a big deal, why we as Christians have such a big reason to celebrate. Because next weekend is Easter, and if we come to church and we do our thing on Easter and we forget about why it's so important that Jesus is alive today, then we've missed the whole point. Maybe we ate a bunch of chocolate and jelly beans and went on an Easter egg hunt. But if we forgot to celebrate that Jesus is alive, then we missed the whole thing. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. We'll read through 19. And then we'll take it apart. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact he did not rise. He is not risen. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile or useless. We'll look into that word in just a few minutes. You are still in your sins. Verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So basically, Paul is writing this letter to the city, the believers in this city called Corinth. And he's come through Corinth before, he and his ministry team, and they've preached about Jesus. They've told people about how he died, how he rose back to life. He's planted churches. Christianity is growing. But after Paul leaves, some other dudes roll into town. And they start telling all these Corinthian believers that everything Paul was saying was a lie, that there's no resurrection. So what we're going to do today is look at why that's such a big deal that they claimed that Jesus never rose again. Because I can guarantee if you go to school, if you started asking people, hey, do you believe Jesus is alive? Probably one of the first people you'd ask would say, no, Jesus isn't alive. He died on the cross. You know, half the people won't even know Jesus. No, I don't even read the Bible. I don't even care, right? But let's look today at why it's such a big deal. I would encourage you guys, maybe you don't normally, but I would encourage you guys to take notes today. Write these four things down that we're going to go over about why the resurrection is so important to our faith. It's a great reminder for us today. So first of all, number one, if the resurrection is a lie, our truth is false. Everything we thought was true was wrong. A lot of people, like the Corinthians, don't realize that to overlook the resurrection or to think it's no big deal could destroy their belief in Christ. They don't understand why it's such a big deal. Because if there's no resurrection, it ruins a lot of things for us Christians. If Jesus is dead, then Christians are the same as everyone else. Same as Mormons, same as Jehovah's Witnesses, same as Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, anyone else that believes in a dead God or their prophet or their leader of their belief or their faith is dead. Christianity is in the exact same place in that case. Jesus is not dead, though. And the difference between Christianity and those other beliefs is if you went to the grave sites of these men who started these other faiths, you would find their bones there. They're dead. They're still dead. They will always be dead. Jesus' grave, though, you won't find anything. He's not there. He's alive today, and that's what makes him different. Now, he did hang out in the tomb for a weekend. Friday he went in there, Sunday he came back out, he was alive and kicking. But if there's no resurrection, then Paul was wasting his time talking about it, wasn't he? He might as well have preached that Elvis was alive, you know? I mean, who cares? If Jesus is dead, then don't waste your time preaching about it. He said in verse 14, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. We don't have anything to talk about. We should all go home. If Jesus is dead, then who cares? In fact, he says in verse 15, if Christ is not risen, we are found false witnesses of God. In other words, we are liars. Everything we told you to be true is false. He says, we've been lying to you. If Jesus is dead, what do Paul and his ministering team have to talk about? Nothing. If Jesus is dead, what do we as Christians have to share with others? What kind of hope do we have to give to anybody else? We have nothing to offer. We have the same thing that the rest of the world has to offer. You know what that is? Nothing. No hope, no peace, no joy. If Jesus is dead, we're just like everybody else. If Jesus didn't conquer death, then you should ignore anything you've ever heard at Velocity. If Jesus is not alive today, then we should give up. We should quit coming to church. That's how big of a deal this is. If Jesus is not alive, if he's dead, then forget anything I ever told you because it's all been based on a lie, a hoax, a misconception, and it's all wrong. Everything you thought to be true was false if Jesus is dead. Thankfully, he's not. But Jesus' resurrection is fundamental to the Christian faith. We have to have it. Number two, if the resurrection is a lie, our faith is useless. So our truth is false, but also our faith is useless. Verse 14, Paul says, your faith is empty if Christ is not risen. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile or useless. Now, empty is often a pretty bad thing, right? I brought some examples. How many of you guys, one of your favorite places in the house is the refrigerator? Anybody else? I love the fridge, right? When I'm sad, the fridge is there to comfort me, right? Bring me ice cream, get me all kinds of goodies, right? Well, what good does the fridge do if it has nothing in it? Does it do you any good? No. You go for comfort like, oh, I need ice cream. Oh, that's not that cool, right? The fridge doesn't do anything if it's empty. I mean, I guess if my head was hot, you know, I could kind of cool down a little bit. Hey, how's it going? It's kind of nice in here for like 5 seconds. And then I'm done. I don't want to just stick my head in the fridge all the time. I guess you could open the door and use it to refrigerate your house if you wanted to or something, but your electrical bill would go way up. But if the fridge is empty, it doesn't do you any good, right? How about the cookie jar? Anybody else like the cookie jar? I love the cookie jar. You guys want some cookies? Oh, there's none in there. Bummer. Yeah, so here's the thing. If the cookie jar is empty, it does you no good, right? You get all stoked. Have you guys ever done this? Like, oh man, I know my mom made cookies last night. And so you go and you open it up. You're like, they're gone already? Oh, my sister. Oh, you know, or whoever, right? But if the cookie jar is empty, it does you no good. It's useless, right? How about Cocoa Puffs? Who's a big fan? You like this stuff? Jen bought this for me last week, and I ate it in like 3 days. It's fantastic. I love Cocoa Puffs. But if the box is empty, it doesn't do me any good, right? There's no chocolatey goodness for my taste buds. Come on. There's nothing. I'm just going to throw this away because it's useless. How about Red Bull? Who's a fan? Now, what if you guys bought like a pack of Red Bull and it was empty? Be a little bummed out, right? Like, hello, how can I grow wings if there's no wing juice, you know? Come on, I need some Red Bull. I need some energy. How many of you guys do Easter egg hunts on Easter? Okay, now imagine you get so stoked about Easter egg hunt and you go out there, you got your basket, and maybe you're carrying a backpack because you're so stoked about it, right? And you run out there and you're like tackling your brothers, throwing them out of the way. I got that one. You know, you're grabbing everything. You fill up your basket and you're like, oh, I can't wait. There's probably money. There's jelly beans. There's all kinds of stuff, right? You're like, oh, there's nothing in that one. Oh, man. Hey, you guys forgot one. Okay. Oh, wow, there's nothing in it. And imagine if you cleaned out your whole basket and all of them were empty. Your parents are all, hey, happy Easter. You're all, hey, you ruined my Easter, you know? Oh, come on. If they're empty, they do us no good, right? I mean, come on. We need it full. And in a lot of cases, empty is really bad, isn't it? Let me tell you this. In Jesus' case, empty is fantastic. Because if his grave was full, we are hopeless. Everything we thought to be true is false. Our faith is useless if Jesus is still in his tomb. In Jesus' case, we want it to be empty. If his tomb is full of bones, our faith is empty and futile. Literally, those words mean useless, unreal, without results, or frustrated. If Jesus didn't resurrect from the dead, you might as well knock on doors with Jehovah's Witnesses and ride bikes with Mormons. Because you have the same thing to offer that they do. Nothing. They got nothing. And neither do we if our God is dead as well. Remember it this way. Write this down. Our faith is only full if the tomb is empty. Write that down. Our faith is only full if the tomb is empty. Because if the tomb is full, then our faith is empty. Our faith is only full if the tomb is empty. Jesus' resurrection makes him worth following. If he were dead, then our faith would be useless. There's no point in trusting in a dead guy. Number three, if the resurrection is a lie, God's forgiveness is powerless. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. Let me read a verse to you. This is Romans 10:9 that shows us how important it is for us to believe in this idea of the resurrection. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, you must believe that Jesus is alive today to ever be saved and go to heaven. Your eternity, your forgiveness hinges on this one belief, that you would believe that Jesus is God and that he's alive today. It hinges on that. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's a big problem. Because after all, how can a dead guy forgive anyone, right? I mean, last time I checked, dead guys can't do anything besides lay there and stink. It's about all that they're good at, right? Other than that, they can't do anything, much less forgive sins. But we all need forgiveness. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we've all messed up, then we all need forgiveness. Sometimes we do stupid stupid things. We make mistakes. I read about one guy in London who was going to propose to his girlfriend. He was going to give her a balloon with the engagement ring in it, okay? He paid $12,000 for this engagement ring. And so he was all excited, and he put in the balloon, and as he was going to pop the question, she was going to pop the balloon and find this engagement ring, and everything is going to be happily ever after, right? Well, not the case, because as he walked out of the store, a gust of wind took his balloon, and he watched as his $12,000 helium balloon went flying into the air. So here's the thing. I was reading this. Now, remember, this is in London. So they use some words that we don't, as Americans, use. And this was one of my favorite parts of the story. I loved how he described himself. He says, "I felt like such a plonker." He said, "It cost a fortune, and I knew my girlfriend would kill me." So this guy jumped in his car as he sees the balloon floating away, chased the balloon for 2 hours, never caught it. And so another sad part of the story is that his girlfriend now refuses to talk to him until she gets a new ring. I don't think that relationship's going to work out too well. But forgiveness is a daily need for us, isn't it? Jesus met that need by dying for us, to forgive us. Jesus' death took away the power of sin, only because he beat death by rising to life. Had Jesus stayed dead, then who cares that he died for us? Yeah, that's great. Cool. Some guy died. Awesome. What does that do if he's still dead? Nothing. Because Jesus conquered death, he conquered sin, and he could forgive us for it. Verse 17, if Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. If the resurrection is a lie, our truth is false, our faith is useless, God's forgiveness is powerless, things aren't looking too good for us, are they? But unfortunately, that's only this side of heaven. Those are only the consequences if the resurrection is a lie on the earth. Think about eternity. We haven't gotten to that yet. Number four, if the resurrection is a lie, our eternity is hopeless. I was thinking about atheism, people who believe that there is no God and we're here by chance. What happens when they die? You know, I mean, if we disappeared one day for whatever reason, what happens when you die? Do you just disappear for whatever reason? I mean, it's just crazy. And I was actually talking to an atheist, emailing with an atheist a few months back, and I was witnessing to this guy. He actually stumbled upon the Velocity website, asked some questions about it, so I used it as an opportunity to witness to this guy. He told me that I was a child abuser because I tell people your age that there's hell. You believe that? He told me I'm a child abuser. I was like, wow, that's a new one. Never been told that one before. I honestly think it's much more abusive to not tell you about hell, don't you think? If hell is reality and you could end up there without Jesus, wouldn't it be abusive for me to not tell you about it? I think it would be wrong for me not to. And because Jesus talked about it, I think I have the right to talk about it. It's reality. It's a real place. Every one of us will experience eternity either in heaven or in hell. I hope none of us in hell. God has a place for each of us in heaven, and he wants us to be there. And it's possible because he's alive. But people often think they're going to get away with stuff. You know, one of my favorite kind of news stories to read is about stupid criminals, you know? I love these guys that think they can pull stuff off and they go in and it's revealed that they're idiots. You know what I'm talking about? In Poland, there were two guys who tried to rob a bank. They came in with ski masks and they told the teller to give them all her money. And I guess she was going a little too slow or whatever. So they pulled out pepper spray. They were going to spray this lady with pepper spray and jump over the counter and grab the cash. Well, my favorite part of the story was when they pulled out the pepper spray, they went to spray her right as the heater kicked on and blew the pepper spray back into their faces. So these bank robbers, trying to act all tough, fall to the floor coughing and rubbing their eyes like, oh my gosh, pepper spray. And they had to just run out, hitting stuff on the way because they couldn't even see. Their eyes are like watering and they're coughing. They got in their getaway car and took off. The Polish media, they were covering this story. You know, they came in, these guys wearing ski masks. The Polish media was joking like, well, if they try to rob a bank next time, maybe instead of ski masks, they should wear gas masks, right? Or something like that. But it blows my mind that people think they're going to get away with stuff like this. Like people who lead police on a high-speed chase on the freeway. Like, when was the last time you saw the police not catch them, right? I mean, there's helicopters following these guys. They really think they're going to get away, you know? But people think all the time that they're going to get away with not following Jesus. In fact, maybe some of you in this room are just that way. Maybe you come to Velocity all the time. Maybe this is your first time. But either way, you've lived a lot of your life thinking that you don't need Jesus. It's not that important. You're doing pretty good. You're a pretty good person. You never robbed a bank like these guys. Never murdered anybody. You don't steal that much. You know, whatever. You're like, well, God's a loving God. Kevin always tells us that God loves us. He has a plan for us. God's a loving God. He wouldn't not let me into heaven. I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. Whatever made you think that? The Bible tells us that we were all born separated from God in our sins. My little 15-month-old daughter is sinful. I believe it. She bites me sometimes. It's not that fun. She bit my toe the other day and it really hurt. Probably tasted bad too. But the idea is that God, yes, he's a loving God, but he's also a just God. And he doesn't let us get away with things. And our eternity is hopeless if Jesus is dead. Look at verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, Paul says. These people who died believing they were going to heaven, if Jesus is dead, then they're gone. They have no hope. And then he goes on, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, we as Christians, we come up against all this opposition and persecution. And we make sacrifices. We stand up against the flow of the world. But if this life on earth is all that we have, why are we wasting our time? Pity on us if that's the case. Because if Jesus is dead, our eternity is hopeless. There's nothing to look forward to. If Jesus is dead, then so is our faith and our hope. There's nothing. We have nothing to look forward to. One guy wrote this. He's a 19th century theologian. His name's David Strauss. He put, it is impossible that a being who had stolen half dead out of the sepulcher or the grave, he's talking about Jesus, who crept about weak and ill and wanting medical treatment, could have given the disciples the impression that he was a conqueror over death and the grave, the Prince of Life. Think about it. When Jesus came out of that grave, you think he like hobbled around limping in a wheelchair? You think his disciples had to push him around? Bandage him up? What do you think that a guy like this, who's all hobbling around and down in Tylenol all the time, is going to inspire these disciples to go and tell other people about him? No way. Let me put it to you this way. Jesus didn't survive death. He conquered death. He didn't just barely make it. He won. Satan was defeated when Jesus emerged from the tomb. I can imagine the party that day, that Friday afternoon when Jesus was crucified. In hell, they must have been celebrating like never before. We won, Satan and his demons thought. 3 days later, I'll bet they were pretty upset because they saw Jesus and they're like, that's the guy we just killed. What happened? Probably freaking out, right? They realized when Jesus was alive, they did not stand a chance. He conquered death. Hebrews 1:3 says, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He ascended into heaven. He appeared to over 500 people after his resurrection, and then he ascended into heaven. Do you think when he got to heaven, he called the angels over to bandage him up? Hey, I need an ace wrap and some ibuprofen. No, pack of ice. No, Jesus didn't need that. That's not the way Jesus is. I don't want you to ever get this idea in your mind that Jesus was some weak, hobbling man. He conquered death. Luke 15:7 says that there's rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner. Think about it. If heaven rejoices for one person that turns from their sin, think about the party that day when Jesus showed up in heaven having completely conquered death and sin. Think about the party that day. Jesus' resurrection, when he appeared to his disciples, was so powerful to these men that almost every one of them would end up dying terrible, torturous deaths trying to tell other people about this man who had conquered death, about Jesus, God in human flesh, who had conquered death. Would a hobbling, weak man inspire these men to this to-the-death loyalty? No way. They wouldn't give it all up to some guy who barely survived. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How could someone who wasn't a conqueror himself empower us to be conquerors? It doesn't work that way. Let me put it to you this way. Found this Bible in the back. Doesn't have a front cover. Missing a few pages. But I was looking through this Bible and I started to think, you know, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then the story of the gospel is not complete. Without the resurrection, your Bible is not complete. Close your Bible. Hold it in your hand. I want you to think about this. Without the resurrection, your Bible is not complete. It doesn't have every part. Think about it. I mean, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, remember we talked about how our eternity is hopeless? So why would we want to read about Revelation, right? Because we don't want to read about eternity if Jesus is dead. What about the book of Philemon? One of my favorite books. If you guys ever read it? It's about forgiveness. But Jesus can't forgive us if he's dead. I don't want to read about that, right? What about Romans? Romans talks a lot about, you know, forgiveness and us, we should sacrifice our lives for Christ. I'm not sacrificing my life for a dead guy. No way. I don't want to even read about that. What about earlier in Psalms? You know, David, people who write these Psalms, talked all about forgiveness. I don't want to read about that. Jesus can't forgive me anymore. Job, he talks about how even in his day, even in the worst of times, he could trust. He said, my Redeemer is alive. I know it. Well, if he's dead, then Job can't say that. I don't want to read about that. Do you see what I'm doing here? Without the resurrection, your Bible is useless. Your faith is useless. If Jesus is dead, stop coming to church. Forget about it. There's no point. But because Jesus is alive, we have something to look forward to. Because Jesus conquered the grave, because Jesus conquered your sin and my sin, we have hope. There's a reason to celebrate. And today is that day for many of you. Some of you in here today are struggling with sin right now. Some of you today have kind of given up on Jesus because you think, I'll never get past this sin, this struggle. I can't do it. You're right, you can't. But Jesus can. You can't conquer death, but Jesus can. He did it. And because of that, it's reason to celebrate. And today, many of you need to make that commitment. At the end of the service, I'm going to have the leaders come up here. And the leaders are going to be standing right up here, and we want to be here to pray with you and pray for you. Some of you in this room today, for a lot of your life, you've resisted Jesus. You've said that you don't need him for whatever reason. You've been doing your own thing, thinking that you're okay on your own. You're not okay on your own. No matter how great your life may seem, without Jesus, it's nothing. You have no hope. You're not forgiven. Everything you believe is wrong. It's false. And so today, let Jesus conquer that. Let him take it away. I'm going to ask the leaders to come on up here, and we'll close in a time of prayer. But we want to be here for you, to pray with you, to pray for you. Don't leave today unless you know you're headed to heaven. If you have a question, come talk to us. Let's pray. God, thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us. But Lord, we know that had he just died and stayed dead, it wouldn't have been enough, because death would have conquered him. But Jesus didn't just survive death, he conquered it. Sin and death have no sting, no power anymore. But Lord, if we're honest, some of us here in this room have allowed sin and death to take power over our lives. God, today, I know that there are people in this room who've resisted you, but today they need to make the decision to follow hard after you, to commit their lives to you. Lord, I pray that today would be the day. They would quit resisting. Maybe some of us in this room, Lord, just need to, we've confessed you, we've believed in you, we've committed to follow you, but we're struggling with sin. We've given in to this temptation here and there. Lord, forgive us for that. And I pray that today we would make a change in our lives. We're not able to conquer our sin on our own, Lord, but we know that you can, because you rose again. And we thank you for that. And this whole week, as we prepare for Easter, Lord, let it just be a celebration. But let the celebration not stop on Easter. Let us continue for the rest of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Leaders are available. Guys, please come talk to us.